going to talk about influence today. And the reason I am is because I had this very interesting discussion with my girls. We all went away for a weekend last weekend. And as we were having this, I thought, gosh, that sounds awfully like the lesson we have this week. So that's what I'm going to talk about. They brought to my attention a study that's been done about what teens want to be when they grow up. Okay? Now, the results were not too surprising. The top one for boys is professional athlete. The second one is online content creator. I have no idea what that is, but that was number two. The top for girls was medical professional and actress. No, one and two. Well, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, number three for both boys and girls, you will be surprised to know, was YouTuber, streamer, vlogger, blogger. In other words, they want to be an online influencer because of the status and the financial clout that comes with that. That's number three for teens, right? So I was thinking about that. It's like, what in the world does that mean? And it led us into this discussion where they all had kind of different opinions about what influence was. But I just thought that's something we need to think about today. So think for a minute. Who has been the most influential person in your life? You probably all have it. Okay, now, who has been the most powerful person in your life? Because they may not be the same. They're probably not the same. I was thinking about it, and there are people that fit into these two categories for me, and I thought I'd give you a simple example. Teachers. I had a math teacher in middle school. I had her for 3 years. She was 6 feet tall. She was intimidating as all get out. But she was inspiring. In fact, the only math that I still know and use, I learned from her. She not only loved math and wanted you to love math, but she really wanted you to explore and question, and it was okay if you didn't understand, it was okay if you were wrong, it was wonderful. And I learned so many things from her besides math. You know, one was the value of being organized, one was the value of not skipping steps, don't take the shortcut. She taught me how to think logically through problems and the importance of doing the best work you can do. Even if it's not right, it's important to do the work and show your steps, right? She was amazing and she was encouraging. And I just adored her. I didn't ever want to disappoint her. Okay, so she was the person who influenced me in some attitudes and some character qualities that I still have. That's teacher number one. Teacher number two shall remain nameless forever. She was the exact opposite. She was 5'1", and she was a tyrant. She ran her class with extreme discipline, which, you know, is fine, but it was very strictly enforced. And she taught us literature, okay? When you teach literature, you realize sometimes there are different ways to interpret different things. That was not true for her. It was her way or the highway. And so we spent a lot of time trying to figure out which interpretation she wanted us to be using. She insisted that we do well because it reflected on her and her reputation. And I will tell you, I did well. I really did. I learned to write. I learned to analyze. I learned to think about all those different interpretations. It made college classes so easy, it was ridiculous. But I did well out of fear, because she had power over my life, not just at school, but over the college application process. And I wanted to avoid the shame that was associated with messing up in her class, right? So I was obedient, but there was no love lost between the two of us. So you get the idea. What is the difference between influence and power? Because we're going to define them. I'm going to take a page out of Lynn's book. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Power is the capacity or ability to direct the behavior of others or the course of event. One has an effect, the other directs, but they're a lot of like. And you can see that there's kind of a fine line between the two. So I'm going to talk about those two things, and I realize I'm going to simplify and I'm going to generalize, and there are all kinds of ways to interpret these two words, okay? But we're just go with me according to Abigail, right? Influence, to me, is sort of a long obedience in the same direction. It requires time. It requires consistency. It's very humble. It's always outward looking for the benefit of somebody else. It's not standing up there saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. It doesn't insist on its own way, but it trusts God to bring about his agenda. Influence leaves the outcome with the one who can actually impact it. And the other thing I know about it is it's soft and it's quiet. One can influence people and not know it. Or you can be influenced by people and not know it until later and you're looking back. Mrs. Reed was a great example of that. Power, on the other hand, uses fear and frequently involves force as a weapon. It's very punishment-oriented. It has its own agenda, and it insists on its own agenda. It wants control, okay? And it's very self-centered. Power is always saying, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing, look at me. And it's used for the benefit of the one who has the power, generally. It's arrogant and entitled. I know best. I deserve it. I'm gonna get it. That's power. And it generally doesn't take into account very deeply other people except how they can be used for power's purposes. In other words, people become tools. They cease to become people, right? Power is addictive. People crave it, and they'll do whatever they can to get it or get more of it. And ultimately, power is delusional, and it corrupts, okay? Now, we have perfect example of influence in this lesson this week with Abigail. We also have a perfect example of power in next week's lesson with Jezebel, one of my personal favorite evil people of the Bible, right? Now, Abigail's influence was really clear. I mean, her servants trusted her. Obviously, they talked to her, and they trusted her to do the right thing. Her banquet diplomacy, which, by the way, do you know that's a real thing in the State Department? It's called banquet diplomacy, where they serve lavish meals and they do their State Department diplomatic work. Well, anyway, she had that in spades. It had the desired effect of diffusing the anger of 600 armed men. The other reason her influence is apparent is that she focused on David. She focused on his reputation and his relationship with God, not on herself and the danger she and her family were in, but the benefit to David of changing his mind about this. And David listened to her. You know, even her fool of a husband believed her. So she was extremely influential. Her behavior was consistent over time. It impacted her own household, impacted King David, or soon to be King David, the entire nation, and therefore had an impact on the coming of the Messiah. It went forward into history because of who she was and what she did. So she was a woman of influence. I will leave you to contrast her with Jezebel, the woman of power, next week. That will be fun for you. So anyway, here I'm thinking like, okay, Jan, why focus on influence and power? This is all very interesting, right? Because they are so closely related, I will say a person of influence has power that they use in a different way. A person of power may or may not have influence, okay? And there's a warning for us because of how closely these two are related, but there's also an encouragement in it. And the warning, of course, is sometimes we think we're influencing someone or a situation when really what we want is power. We really want the power to arrange and bring our own ideas about what's best and to control what's going on with the other person or the situation, right? So we have to be honest. There's a little bit of Jezebel in all of us, right? That's the warning, is don't take God's power. It didn't work in Genesis chapter 3. It hasn't worked since. And through the rest of the Bible, we will continue to see that it still doesn't work. Okay? So don't take God's power on yourself. But the encouragement is this. God, as we can see in Abigail's life, is always shaping and always molding and always creating in us more of a likeness of Jesus Christ, even when we don't see it. Okay? It's never too late. It's never too difficult for God to redeem something. And if we have been power hungry, which who among us has not, right? We can pray instead to be humble and be influence oriented. So it requires patience and trust, but it is the essence of discipleship because this is what God is doing in us. He is creating us to be more like Christ and therefore to have more influence. So the question is, would you rather be a woman of influence or a woman of power? How will you know the difference? Note this week how you are relating to people, because it will tell you which way you're leaning, and that's an important thing to know. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that in your grace and your mercy and your incredible goodness to us, that you do give us influence. Help us to use it in the right way, to trust you with outcomes, to trust you with people, to trust you with our loved ones, to trust that you are going to manage things in the way that is best for everyone. And thank you for giving us multiple opportunities. Lord, protect us from the temptation to take power ourselves. And help us to leave the power in the hands of the all-powerful one. For you are the one who truly knows what needs to happen and how you want to bring it about. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.